that reason, it's easy to state what we are all here about, what we're all here for, and help each of us to find ourselves from the standpoint of things that are really important and significant. Every single one of us, no matter who we are, what nationality we come from, no matter what our background might be, every single one of us are a creation of God. Every single one of us are created in His image and in His likeness. Every single one of us are created to be like Him and to walk in His image. It is true for every single one of us that unless we are doing that, we will never be able to find true peace, true contentment, and true happiness. Unless we are being what we were made and created to be in the likeness and the image of God. For every single one of us, our life in this world will end. And for every single one of us, when that life ends, we stand before God and we answer to Him for how we did in walking in His image and walking in His likeness. It is for that reason that Psalm 1, 1 through 6, is so very important. That Psalm is the beginning of all the Psalms, and it tells us what we are not to be doing, what we are to be doing, and the final result if we are doing it. That Psalm helps every single one of us to find out what we ought to be and what we ought not to be, as all of the Bible does. One of the key words in that Psalm is meditate. And tonight, we're going to be talking about meditation. But tonight, or rather not tonight, but this morning, we have a special event that's going to take place at the beginning of next service where we honor our graduates and we're going to be talking to them about leaving home. Everybody leaves home. But we all leave in different ways. Sometimes we leave because we want to. Sometimes we leave because we're forced to. Sometimes we leave for other reasons, but all of us, when things go right in our life and when things go as they should be, we will leave home. And the joy that you have as high school seniors in leaving home is not exactly shared by your parents, although that joy in leaving home was shared by them when they were your age. And when you get to be their age, you will understand why they don't share the joy that you have in regard to leaving home. Leaving home. I wish we could ask everybody that's a senior, what is it that you look forward to in leaving home? And then I wish we could read every single one of them's mind to see what they're really thinking about, what they're really looking forward to in leaving home. Leaving home means nobody's going to wake me up to make me go somewhere. That's a good thing. It's also a bad thing. Leaving home means nobody's going to pick up after me or make me make my bed. I don't have to make it if I don't want to. That's a good thing. It's also a bad thing. There are a lot of different situations with regard to leaving home that we look forward to and that we learn a great deal about. Let me tell you what's going to happen. When you leave home, we're going to learn a lot about you. We're going to find out some things about you. When you leave home, you're going to find out about you. You're going to find out some things about you. And with regard to leaving home, there's some things that I think we ought to keep in mind and some things that we ought to remember. So I bring you to our outline for this morning. And there it is. That's it. And it's not because I was on vacation, because I did this before we went on vacation. It's not because I didn't have any time. I had time. But that's all I wanted to put up. Sounds almost like a Clint Eastwood movie, but it's not a Clint Eastwood movie.
Because it's not the good, the bad, the ugly. It's the good, the better, and the best. Leaving home. And let's talk about each of them. The good. It doesn't start off good. As a matter of fact, it might seem to be a misuse of words when you consider it. The account is in Luke chapter 15. And it's about a man who had two sons. And the younger of those two sons came to him and said, "Share the inheritance with me. Give me my portion of it." And the father reluctantly did that because he knew what was in the boy's mind. He wanted to leave home. For whatever the reason, he wanted to get out. For whatever the reason, he no longer wanted to be there. Whether it was confinement that he felt, whether it was a lack of freedom that he felt, or whether it was animosity between him and his brother, whatever it was, he did not want to stay any longer. He wanted out. And so the father granted his request, and he let him go. And the son leaves with his inheritance, which does not stay with him very long. Because when he left home, he did exactly what he wanted to do. When he left home, he did exactly what he evidently did not feel like he could have done while he was at home. And he wasted all of his inheritance on, the Bible describes it as, riotous living. Some translations will describe it as immoral living. But he wasted everything that he had, and then he had no more of the inheritance. And he also found out he had no more friends. He had no more acquaintances. He had no more people who would look after him and help him. Nobody who would do anything for him. Because he was a man being used. Because he had money. And because he had means. And when the money and the means disappeared, there was no longer any need to use him. You could no longer use him. And so he was no longer needed, necessary, useful, nor even one you would put up with. And he was abandoned. And the Bible will tell us that he begins to gain a job feeding pigs. And it's while he is feeding those pigs that something happens. He begins to learn some things about this freedom that he thought he wanted. He begins to understand that this freedom is not necessarily the freedom that comes when you walk in the image and likeness of God. It's not really freedom at all. It's called sin. And he understood that sin will take you further than you ever intended to go. He never intended to go this far. When he left home, he never intended to become this. But that's what sin always does. It takes you further than you ever intended to go. And sin will keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. If he did run out of money, he didn't intend to go here and stay this long. But that's what sin does. It'll always keep you longer than you intend to stay. And he found out that sin will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. He never intended to lose all of that inheritance. He never intended for this lifestyle to cost this much. But it did. And it's what sin always does. It'll always cost you more than you ever intended to pay. But then there's a statement about him that causes this to be good. And it's a statement that we hope and pray for everyone who is trying to seek this freedom, which is really a license to do whatever I want to do, which is not freedom at all. And sometimes our world and our culture today has a hard time understanding the difference in those definitions. But the Bible will tell us about this young man that he came to his senses. He started to think correctly. And when he started to think correctly, he remembered his father. Or maybe remembering his father is what caused him to start thinking correctly. But he remembered his father. And when he remembered his father, he remembered what life was like in his father's house for the hired servants. In his father's house, the hired servants had better life and living than he was having in this newfound freedom. And so he desires to go back to his father's house, not to be a son, but to be his father's slave, because life would be better there than in this freedom that he has found. So he goes back. It's hard to go back. It's embarrassing to go back. You have to face things and individuals you don't want to face. But it was better to go back than to stay where he was. So he made up his mind and he went back. And then he discovered what everybody who goes back always discovers. It turns out to be a lot better than I thought. It turns out to be a lot easier than I thought because of who I'm coming back to. It turns out to be more of a blessing than I ever anticipated to come back. The reason why this one is good is because he comes back. What I want you to remember, all of us to remember, especially our graduates, as long as you have breath with God, you can come back. No matter what your decisions are and where you go, you can come back. And when you come back, you are welcome. You are wanted. And you are rejoiced over. Even all of the angels of heaven rejoice more on the one who comes back than the one who never needed to come back. You can come back if you choose to. If you make that choice. If you make that decision. Sometimes leaving home is not exactly what we thought. Sometimes leaving home is more broken dreams than it is fulfilled dreams. And when it is, we can always come home. And then there's the better. He was almost forced out. He didn't really want to leave, but he understood why he needed to. Because he had a brother that was ready to kill him and was planning to as soon as his father died. And his name was Jacob. And Jacob had no desire to go out and to do whatever he wanted to do. He wasn't like that prodigal son. But Jacob had a lot of learning to do. There were things that he didn't know. There were things that he didn't understand. There were things that he was confused about. And most of them were with regard to his God. When he left home, he was almost driven out by his mom and dad out of concern for him and to be able to save his life from his brother. And so he left. But one of the first nights while he's away, he has a dream. And when he has this dream, it becomes more than a dream. It becomes a vision of a revelation of understanding of one point about God. One point about God that he had never considered. One point about God that he had not thought of. And that he did not understand. Because he thought when he left home, he left his father's God. But in this dream, he came to realize God's in this place, And I didn't know it. God is here. And I didn't realize it. And he comes to understand that wherever he is going, God will be with him. And he's not just in the home of his father and his mother. He's wherever he goes. And so Jacob goes, but he goes to maturity. He goes and he has to grow up. He has to learn some things. He has to come to some conclusions that he hadn't come to before. He has to change his mind about some things. He'd always been kind of deceivious. He'd always been kind of deceptive. And looking out for himself before he looked out for anybody else. When his brother asked him for that bowl of soup, he could have been a good brother and said, "Sure, brother, I'm happy to share with you." But he didn't. Because it was something he wanted. And he would give it in return for what he wanted. So there wasn't real, true, and genuine love between he and his brother. He would use his brother to gain advantage. But when he went away from home, he found somebody who was even better at that than him. And it became a war between he and his father-in-law as to who could outdo the other. And it was an unwinnable battle. And he learned to grow up. And finally, when he returns home and he wrestles with that angel, the angel has one question for him. Who are you? The last time he was asked that question was by his father, and he lied. He pretended to be somebody he wasn't. This time, he's grown up. This time, he's come to maturity. This time, he's different. And this time, after learning his lessons from God, having left home and living away from home, he's learned to be honest with himself and honest with God. And he says, "I am Jacob." Honesty with himself and honesty with his God. He wasn't rebellious. He didn't turn his back on everything that he had been taught to live for. But he had to do some growing. And he had to grow up a little bit. And he grew up a lot. And the key of it is honesty with myself, and honesty with God, and honesty with others. And then the third is the best. He had said goodbye to his dad. He had already lost his mom. And he had said goodbye to his dad, but it was only for a brief visit away from his father to go see how his brothers were. And he would be right back. He didn't ask for his share of the inheritance. He only took some provisions in order to be able to sustain himself on the journey, to be able to go see how his brothers were doing, and then to come back home to his dad. But he would never go back home to his dad. He would bring his dad to him. But he wouldn't go back home to his dad. Not to that place. Because Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. He was driven from home. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to leave. But he was driven by his brothers out of their hatred for him, away from home, not to return again. And he finds himself a slave in the land of Egypt. But this is where we see something remarkable about this young man. We find out about him and who he is, just like we found out about the prodigal son, just like we found out about Jacob. We find out about Joseph. And what we find out about Joseph is the presence of God never leaves his mind, never leaves his thought, never leaves the reality of who he is, never leaves his actions. Everything about him is driven and devoted by the God in whose presence he lives. This man never disappoints. This man always does exactly what we would hope he would do. So, when he is the servant of the master, he is faithful not only to God, but also to his master, even when he is tempted, even when he is lied about, even when he is falsely accused and he goes to prison. Still, he walks faithful to God, and he ministers to those that are in prison with him and helps them and aids them. And even when he's forgotten about, he does not forget God. He does not forget who he is, created in his image and in his likeness. He does not forget where he is, walking in his presence. He does not forget where he's going, standing before him. He does not forget to honor God in everything that he does in life. While he left home, he never left God. And that makes his life the best of the three. And the one that we pray for each and every one of our graduates and every single person for every day that we live. To walk in the presence of God every single day. It's the only way you can find joy and peace and contentment even when you're lied about. The only way you can find joy and peace and contentment when you're a slave in prison because of something you never did. When everything about life is going against you. It's the only way to find peace and joy and contentment. And then ultimately, to be rewarded by God because of your faithfulness. So if things don't go well, we hope for you good. That you remember to come home. We also would hope that if you make some wrong choices and have some wrong ideas and wrong thoughts, you will continue to meditate on God and his word, and you will grow up and you will get better. But most of all, we hope for you the best. That you leave this place and leave your home and go to wherever life takes you, and remember you're always walking in the presence of God and you're living to please him. That's our prayer for you. That's our hope for you. That's our desire for you. Have you been away from God? Do you find it hard to come home? Do you know he wants you home?